Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Happy, the ball itself has its own energy, or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the home, so why don't you send them home?
It's Mike Shope.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
And the Bulldog.
That Happy Gilmore, he's a real crack up, isn't he? I mean, he's a hoot. You know, what was great today, one of his fans mooned me, and had Happy written on his ass. Ha on the one cheek, and then... sure enough, PPY right there in the other.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Happy learned how to putt. Uh-oh.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We will get to the Canadian Open and the U.S. Open back-to-back here. The Canadian Open wrapping up yesterday near Toronto. U.S. Open this week outside of Pittsburgh. But as we welcome Brian Koziol, host of Tee to Green, to the show... Brian is the tennis coach at Sweet Home, and we would be, I think, remiss to go the whole show without a mention of the two French Open finals, Coco Gauff winning on Saturday in the third, and then, Brian, they're calling Alcaraz over Sinner the greatest, I saw Patrick McEnroe say, the greatest match ever played at Roland Garros. Alcaraz is down three match points in the fourth and a break, ends up winning. 5.5 hours is not manageable, but still, it sounds like an all-timer.
It is incredible. Good afternoon, by the way, guys. It was incredible that they were physically able to play as hard as they were in those, in I don't know, the third hour, the fourth hour, the fifth hour, as it approached 6 hours. The ball that's, for those that maybe remember, it was, I think Alcaraz was on the verge of maybe closing it out, and Sinner gets to a ball at the net when... I think it's like a 15-30 kind of spot for him, and just incredible. They're, the amount of energy and power that they're still able to hit with, just as much as they were in the first set, like in the fifth there when it's over 5 hours plus of tennis, it was phenomenal. It really was. And Alcaraz is kind of a showman, and he seems to be pretty well liked. He's very popular. The crowd was behind him more so, I thought, than Sinner overall. But yeah, that was really, really tremendous.
I heard Marty Baron on Sabres Live with Brian Duff this afternoon, and he was making a point about his day yesterday consisted of getting up at 6 a.m., driving to West Point to pick up his son Jacob, who's a goalie at the Army, plays goal for Army. And he got something done with school, and he's done. He's coming home, bringing all the gear. So Marty had to go pick him up. And so... 5.5 hours one way, 5.5 hours back, and Marty made a point about how much of – he couldn't believe how much of his drive he was listening to the radio coverage of the tennis match. And like it covered like an entire way there or back, like it covered half the ride. He was in the car for 11 hours, and half of it was this match. It's amazing.
It's a great way to pass the time if you're into that. I know. Yeah, both matches – you mentioned the golf match on Saturday – where she's down and then drops the first set. Women's is only best out of three, men's best out of five, but Gauff drops the first set. So she's obviously, you know, in elimination mode, essentially losing a set. She's done and comes back. And then, you know, we had the same on the men's side there with Sinner winning the first two and then Alcaraz coming back with the last three. I don't know if either of you saw this at all, but I was trying to find it. I don't have it. I'm asking. The last time... we've seen a major for tennis have 1-2 and 1-2.
84.
Okay, good. I'm glad you saw it. Yeah, I figured it had to be a while.
Maybe that was only the French. Okay. But I think I saw 84, which I think is McEnroe-Lendl when McEnroe's up two sets and loses. I think that's 84. And maybe Martina and Chrissy.
Big names there.
Big names.
Four.
The Jeez. Legends. How long was it from when Sam Burns teed off to when he finished? That was probably maybe 8 hours. I mean, there wasn't even a weather delay or anything, but he gets done at the Canadian Open, switching to golf, at 4 o'clock.
Yep.
And then goes back out around 6 for what turns into a four-hole playoff. How about that, Brian? Like, Burns, just quickly on yesterday, maybe I should just let you take it wherever you want to take it, but Ryan Fox, the winner, Burns with, you know, that kind of weird situation where he's waiting for 2 hours to find out if he's going to need to get back out there. I thought if he was calculating his odds in his mind that he would have thought, I'm either going into a playoff or I'm going to lose. And that 18 under would not have held up. And it almost did.
Yeah, it definitely was close. I mean, Fox obviously had to come through at the end to force it. But there were so many. The reason I didn't think 18 maybe would be enough, because there were just so many. I mean, there were 12 players that end up within four shots here of the lead. So, I mean, an 18 being a hole that maybe you'd have an eagle putt for at some point, I thought maybe somebody would come through. But that course had a lot of back and forth. Like, it was challenging in the sense that there were bogeys out there to be made, and guys had some tough shots and some tough lies. But then at the same time, there were a lot of scoreable situations too. So I guess ultimately that's what it would make for an exciting event. And, you know, the Canadian Open, for whatever it's worth, it doesn't get, major, like we're going to see this week in terms of the level of the field, but they do get some bigger names. They get all the RBC guys, which is good for them. But and McIlroy's been a regular attendee of their event. They get dramatic endings. They definitely have. Even when McIlroy's won it, you know, 3 years ago and 4 years ago, they were really, really, really good. Of course, the Nick Taylor, Tommy Fleetwood playoff where Taylor makes that insane putt from inside 100 feet and, you know, goes bonkers, and then Adam Hadwin gets tackled on the green. That was the moment, obviously, that people remember. But yeah, and then last year, even McIntyre comes down to the final hole and wins, and him and his dad, that was a big storyline last year. Yep. His dad's on the bag and caddying and taking the place of his normal caddy, like, and that was a big embrace. So they've had some really, really good endings, and I always thought it's a tough spot for the Canadian Open to be in, because they're, at least since they redid the calendar and pushed the PGA around and redid the playoffs, they're always the week in front of the U.S. Open, which means you're going to lose some guys that don't like to play the week before the major. They're not, as of this moment, in that regular elevated signature event status that some of these other ones are, where the purse would increase, which then would, of course, get all these big guys to show up. And I know they're supposed to rotate that around. Some of them are going to always be, like the Arnold Palmer one's always going to be a signature. But some of these other, they have a few, I guess, in the plans to rotate. I'm hoping at some point the Canadian Open kind of gets back to that status. It would get even bigger fields back in the day. I mean, maybe you could argue one of Tiger Woods' most famous shots ever came at Glen Abbey on the 18th hole when he's out of that bunker. Over 200 yards, and he ends up winning it there on that last hole. So, I mean, they used to get Tiger. I mean, they're getting McIlroy. So, I mean, that's, you know, it's as big of a name as you're going to get. Maybe Scheffler, too. But, you know, maybe they would like Scheffler. Of course, they would want Scheffler. But, I mean, it's a decent field for, I guess, a non-signature event. But they've had really, really good storylines, good drama, and I've enjoyed going up there a few times. I didn't end up going this year. Last year, with it being in Hamilton and much closer, I went up and got to watch a few days. But yeah, they've had some really good endings.
Well, yesterday certainly among them. Brian Koziel with us here on the Westher Hotline. Now it's the Open. We've talked for years during these major championship weeks, you know, having you on the Wednesday. Somebody makes their 10 picks, then we recap Thursday and Friday. Why not go throw Monday into it with what the weekend was and word of a 289-yard par 3 at Oakmont. So famous course, Brian, and how do you like this choice for this year's Open?
Well, I mean, you're right. It's a classic. It's in the regular rotation for U.S. Opens with Pinehurst and Pebble Beach and others like that. But I think if you ask professionals who have played in majors, you know, okay, what's the hardest course in the United States that professionals play at. And this one probably, I would guess, maybe gets the most votes. I know Wingfoot also would be in the discussion, I think. But I think probably overall this one might be the number one vote getter for hardest course that the pros do play on. I mean, you mentioned the length. I mean, it's ridiculous that you've got a par three that, if it's playing into the wind, might play over 300 yards in terms of its length. So that's going to be crazy. It's the rough, I'm sure, for people that have been on social media and follow anybody that's there this week, the rough that has been shown, 5 inches, that's what they said they wanted, is 5 inches. But the fact that the ball's been burying so deep and you really have to like stand over the top of it even just to see it, let alone try to figure out like what you're going to do with it to hit a good golf shot. This obviously has a ton of history too. I was listening to you guys last week talk about the OJ anniversary with the Knicks game, and then right. Arnold Palmer at Oakmont, and yeah, that was his last day. That was a small piece of that that series show that I thought was pretty good.
Right.
But long hitters, and you got to be accurate. Dustin Johnson won it last time it was there in 2016. Before that, Cabrera won it, who, by the way, just got out of jail and won a Champions Tour event.
That's the way to do it.
Yes.
That's a story right there. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. They can't take that away from them. They probably tried. Oakmont, I'm just reading up on it, too, as you're talking, Brian. The course designer, Henry Fownes, F-O-W-N-E-S, and it's the only course he designed. This is not like a Donald Ross track or anything like that. It's the only course he designed. No water, no trees. Almost no trees.
Church pews.
Church pews, yes.
Right.
The bunkers. Yes.
That hole is the one that probably will be photographed or videoed the most this week. It's, for those that don't know, in between the third and the fourth hole, there is a massive bunker that have rows and rows and rows of little grass mounds in between. They call them the church pews, and they've actually added a 13th to it from what the time it was here the last time. So they added one more pew. I don't know if it's in the front or the back, but I would guess it's at the back because they wanted to play longer and have more of it come into play. But I was reading a story this week about like how those were formed, and apparently at some point in the original design, they were all separate bunkers, and then kind of erosion and other things maybe just lended itself that it came into one. I guess they saw something similar at a course in New Jersey, and they liked the way it looked, and they thought even maintenance-wise it was easier, so it kind of turned into this, and this is kind of their signature look. You know, that'll be in between the third and the fourth holes, and a lot of spectators love going to this area. It's the main spectator entrance is actually on the third hole when people come in, so they get to see it, but it's definitely different. They took down a lot of trees. When I was actually there for the last two Opens for at least one day to watch. When Cabrera won in 07, there were more trees, and there were a lot of trees in between, and then they went back to the original design, and as we've seen, even at Oak Hill, in some sense, took down some trees to kind of get back to what was the original design. They took them down and...
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
They took them basically all down. There's almost nothing in between holes now anymore, which adds the element of wind coming into play much more than maybe it was before. But, I mean, you don't need trees for this course to be hard. There's plenty of it, and the rough and the speed of the greens. They've increased the size of a lot of the greens, too, so that they can have what they would say more interesting or more challenging pin placements, too. And definitely not the traditional just, like, round greens. These are square. These are, like, rectangles. There's, like, little ends sticking out at every time. So they're different shapes than maybe what you'd see normally at all the other golf courses that we see professional tournaments at. So, I mean, when Dustin Johnson won it, he hit like every fairway. He was hitting that fade. Everybody wanted to hit draws like a decade ago because it gave you a little bit extra length. And he started hitting the fade, and now that's what kind of now all the pro golfers do, including Scheffler, who hits the fade all the time, because it's a little easier to control. It's a little easier to have it land softly. But I think if guys are accurate off the tee, I think they will have an opportunity maybe to play really well and give themselves a chance to win this week because they've gotten a ton of rain, so the fairways are soft. You're not going to see maybe balls that hit the fairway and then unfairly just roll into the rough because it's so dry or so burnt out or anything. Everything's soft from everything that I'm reading and seeing on it. So if you hit the fairway this week, I think you'll have a chance to get those coveted pars that they're hoping for. Out of all the U.S. Opens, the lowest a winning score has ever been is -5. So everybody's got to kind of remember, redial back here. It's
right.
A score that's probably going to be right around par. I think when DJ won it, it was -4 when it was there 9 years ago.
Well, rain ahead of time, never a bad thing. What about, do you have any idea what the forecast for the week is like? I know it's only Monday, but I haven't looked ahead yet.
Yes, it looks like it's going to be pretty good and warm over the next, I guess over like round one, round two, round three, round four. Thursday, Friday, mid-80s, sunny. Saturday and Sunday, 50% chance of showers, 82 and 80 and 77. So
All right.
At least the start of the event looks like it'll go off without a hitch. In fact, even maybe be quite warm.
I love an Oakmont Open. This will be cool. Johnny Miller's classic win was at Oakmont also. So McIlroy in Canada, we were watching on Friday, he had a quad. Ended up, I think, 9 over after the second round and went home. Do we care? Like, is that something where you think there's something significant there with him? Or is that just a bad day?
I don't think that round is necessarily going to determine how he plays this week. I think what will happen is if he doesn't hit it in the fairway, that'll determine that he's going to fall out of contention. A big reason why he didn't play well in this event is, or in the Canadian Open, is that he'd sprayed it everywhere. Kind of got back to the McIlroy of a few years ago where he was just all over the place. So he's going to have to straighten that out. He said afterwards, he said his game is not at a spot where he's concerned, but he said if he hits the driver the way he did again this week, that it will be concerning. So I thought it was an interesting phrase how he worded that because, I mean, if you're in the rough on, two out of every three holes or three out of every four holes here, you're not going to score well. You're just going to end up with a bad lie at some point that you can't even advance and you're going to have to hit it sideways and you're going to start – the scores are just going to pile up. It's just – it's so – there's so few birdie holes – at a course like Oakmont, that it's literally that survival of the fittest kind of mentality. Like, you're not going to be able to catch up. You know, if you're down by 7 or 8 after day one, like, I don't see how anybody can catch up. You have to kind of just stay there and just hope that you can just avoid taking the 7 and the 8s. Like, I'm sure that we're going to see some of these massive scores. I think McIlroy, I totally misjudged how he would come off the Masters. I thought, oh my God, huge relief. Can't believe I got this finally done. Kind of the pressure is off. And I thought he would be playing relaxed, calm, and cool. When everything I've seen now, he looks like he's playing almost like not even focused. He even kind of seems like he's in a foul mood. I know he was mad that his driver not conforming to the rules at the PGA got out there, and he didn't like that because it was supposed to be confidential. And Scheffler ultimately later admitted that his driver was the same. And it doesn't mean, I know people I saw on social media like, oh, take away the Masters or what. It doesn't mean he cheated or doesn't mean his driver was illegal. It just meant that over time, the face could have maybe, gotten worn down to the point where it doesn't meet the regulations or like you might see with other clubs, like the grooves start to wear and then they become at some point deemed to be not what it's up to.
You're saying my driver is probably illegal?
Well, if you've owned it for let's say a decade or more.
But these
guys, Mike, hit 200 balls a day too, some of them. So, your work regimen is strong, but I don't know if you're hitting that many golf balls a day.
I'm pretty sure I haven't.
That your driver would be non-conforming.
Next tournament I sign up for, though, I'll get it checked. I don't want to get out later that it wasn't legal.
I know we'll have time. Obviously, we're going to talk to you on Wednesday when you make your picks and then hopefully recap rounds 1 and 2 on Thursday and Friday. But Mickelson, this is a big week for him, right? I mean, it sounds a little weird to say that, but this could be like a last go-round for him, isn't it?
It is. We know, of course, he won the PGA in that incredible scene that he did. But that put him to have eligibility in these other majors. Well, this is it in terms of his eligibility for the U.S. Open. So if he doesn't get it done this year, he's going to have to, in one of these other majors, finish, you know, top five or top 10 to the point where it would bump him back into the field. But as of this moment, this could be his last U.S. Open. And we know Mickelson in the U.S. Open storyline has been with him basically, you know, I don't know, 20 years it feels like here. He's six runner-ups at the U.S. Open. You know, the memorable one at Wingfoot where he's right. got a chance to win it on 18 and he hits it into the corporate tent on the side there and, you know, inexplicably hits driver when he didn't even need to. He could have won with a bogey. So he's had all the – he had the one-shot loss to Justin Rose at Marion. You know, he finished second at Bethpage to Glover, Lucas Glover, and you know he's had he's had opportunities, but the one I feel like everybody will remember the most is the Wingfoot one,
yep.
Where probably no one even remembers who won that. That was Ogilvie. Oh, Mickelson lost it. It was Jeff Ogilvie, yeah,
or Pinehurst, Brian, like Payne Stewart. That's right. That's a classic.
That was, and that was more of a Stewart moment than it was nothing. That's less known for Mickelson's right. error. It was just a great putt. And Mickelson was so young at that point, 99. You're
yes,
thinking, all right, he's going to get one at some point.
He didn't have the reputation yet.
Right.
Like he was so young, it would have been a story how young he was. And Tiger was in contention there, too, at Pinehurst. I don't know where he finished, but you know, maybe top five. All right. Well, we'll let you get back to your research.
Okay. Yes, it's my turn to pick. The pressure is on because you guys are both, you're two for two. I know, I'm not going to give you too much credit, though. It was McIlroy and Scheffler.
Thank you.
But right. I have to at least give you credit. You both won, so I have to be ready here.
It's six yes. out of seven for the person
for the
picking the players. Yep, six out of seven.
Oof. Wow.
Which I know because I've got this notebook here that Bulldog mocked me for. Because I didn't use the backs of the pages, and I'm working my way backwards.
Brian, do you know about this?
Well,
are you tracing this back to the 13 Oak Hill major that we could figure out?
Yes.
Whether the picker is up or the field is up.
Brian, he
I'll get
uses
you that.
This. That doesn't matter. He writes in this notebook on the fronts of the each page.
Yes.
And then skips to the front of page two, page like, and then goes back and uses the backs of each page afterward.
I've got serial names written down on a couple of these pages for Bulldog serials.
And when he brought this up, he said it in such a way that implied that everyone did this.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was like, I work with a serial killer. I've been working with this guy since 2003. Who uses a notebook that way?
You know what? Why don't you just get back to your honey pebbles? Why don't you get back to your maple frosted blueberry cap hits? All right, Brian. Talk to you Wednesday.
All right, I'll be ready with picks. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Koziol on the Wes Herr hotline. I couldn't find the golf page.
But no, you got the serial page, though.
I found the serial page.
Yes. Good to know.
Cap Hits. I think Cap Hits could be a good name for a serial.
Got a future, maybe.
Toasted Cap Hits, I would eat. Mm. Not plain. Toasted Cap Hits. Let's go. Let's draft tonight. Look for Toasted Cap Hits in a draft room near you.
Didn't I give you a good name on Friday? I forget already.
The pre-horse collar Grogan's.
Free horse collar Grogan's.
Yes, that was it.
All right. Thank you for remembering.
Speaking of pre, George Richards joined us earlier to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals. That's next here on WGR.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer.
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.